14 years old.
So we went bottom of it and invested in it.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting for June 7th, 2016. The time right now is 7:04 p.m. Ms. Spoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutterback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Campbell, and Scarborough.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I just realized that my computer was showing me May 24th. So let me close that. I was about ready to read two proclamations in that I remembered from last week. All right. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is a public hearing. This is AB 16073, Ordinance Number 002-2016, amending MMC 2012 transportation impact fees. And Mr. Feilberg, I'd imagine.
Yes, thank you. It's opening. Okay. The City Council on April 5th passed the emergency interim ordinance that changed the definition of development activities to make the change of use no longer be a development activity in the hopes of encouraging economic revitalization by encouraging redevelopment of empty businesses not having to pay an additional transportation impact fee. Because that was done as an interim basis, the City Council required to hold a public hearing on that after the adoption to see if there's any public comment on that temporary ordinance. In the meantime, the Planning Commission has also looked at this issue for a permanent ordinance, and they have held a public hearing on the permanent ordinance, and they were originally presented with the changes that the City Council had adopted on the interim basis. They however recommended two changes to that. Is one to put a sunset clause on it that the permanent, in quotes, would expire in 5 years, and also that the change of use would be changed to substantial change of use that would be defined as a change of use to require building permits for work valued at more than 50% of the pre-improvement assessed value of the building. And so that's their recommendation for consideration for the City Council to adopt. So today there's kind of two things to do. Is one is to have a public hearing regarding the interim ordinance, receive public testimony on that, and then also consider the City Council, the Planning Commission's recommendation for the permanent ordinance. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Does Council have any questions for staff? Councilmember Cutterback.
Brad, can you just go over that one more time, what the definition of substantial change of use?
Substantial change of use is,
you said 50%?
50% of the assessed value of the building.
Okay.
That's being worked on for work that requires a building permit.
Okay.
So painting a building, that doesn't count in that value.
Right.
Or putting new, seating, that doesn't count in that value. It's actually work that requires a building permit.
Okay. Even if it was going to keep the same use that was previously there, like a restaurant, say a restaurant. That wouldn't be substantial
change. That's not a change of use at
all. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to make sure I understood that. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions before we go to the hearing? All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. Is there any so I don't have anybody who has signed up to come and speak. Is there any member of the public that would like to come forward to speak on this public hearing? Ms. Angus-Snapka, please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Hello, my name is Erin Angus-Snapka, and I live at 421 South Fifth Street. I just wanted to thank you folks for reviewing and the lighting proposal and for thinking of Old Town. I really think that the lighting will make a lot of difference. Tying the two ends of town together. People normally think of just one side of Lewis Street, the other. Not really get a public speaking, but I'm just generally pleased, and since I've often come in to say in years past when I was displeased, it's only fair that I have to give approval as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to come forward and speak to the council on the public hearing? Okay, seeing none. Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. I move to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
Thank you. That was first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. The public testimony portion of the public hearing is now closed. Is there a motion to close the public hearing? Councilmember Hanford?
No, not yet, because I want to discuss
it. Oh, that sounds good, too.
But my opinion is, I think the Planning Commission's recommendation sounds legit and well thought out. So my thought would be to go ahead and accept what they're recommending. Thanks.
Thank you. Anything else from council? Councilmember Gamble?
Move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, there is a motion to close the public hearing from Councilmember Gamble, second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion to close the public hearing? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. And Councilmember Cuddeback.
So I also agree with Councilmember Hanford on the direction and the recommendations by the Planning Commission. I'm in agreement.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Is there a motion to provide direction to staff?
Do we need a motion, or are we just looking for consensus?
Nope, that's it. Okay, so is there anybody that disagrees with the policy direction to have staff bring forward the permanent regulations as proposed by the Planning Commission? Okay, I don't see any objection to that. So we will bring back forward the ordinance as proposed, as recommended by the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda, and that item is announcements and presentations. You all received an email from me yesterday, I was not able to get the material all to the clerk by the time of publishing on Friday, so I would anticipate having an appointment next week for your consideration of confirmation.
Okay.
I didn't want to just suddenly drop information into the packet yesterday and not have you have the weekend to review the material.
Appreciate that.
Welcome. The next item that we have on the agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet, and nobody has signed up to speak to Council. Is there anybody that would like to come forward this evening to say anything to Council? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item. This would be the consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen to approve the consent agenda with a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Now we're going to move on to unfinished business item number one. This is AB 16077, discussion, underage gatherings regulation. Underage. Sorry, I'm not used to seeing that written like that. Okay. Underage gatherings regulations. And Chief Quinzer.
On April 26th, council reviewed recommendations from the Monroe Community Coalition and staff's assessment of these items. One of them was adapting a civil penalty that would apply to the renter or property owner for a property where underage drinking of more than 10 people was occurring. We went ahead and we checked with Mercer Island, which has one of these regulations, and checked with their police records person, and they don't recall issuing citations on this in the last 6 or 7 years. So
Our recommendation, and my recommendation this time, is that we don't make any changes and we continue to enforce the state law as far as underage drinking.
Agreed.
Okay. All right, Council. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Thanks, Chief. I remember when we discussed this, you had brought up that there are particular people that have offended in this area, and that was one of the considerations of having this. So if we don't change anything, it sounds like by just enforcing the state law, maybe paying more attention to that part of enforcement, then that will eliminate the concerns you had earlier.
I believe so, and a good point was brought up, I believe, by Councilman Kemp about it being somewhat unfair to the property owner if they're out of the area. If I got it right, that unfair to the property owner if they're out of the area and somebody promotes a party on their property, unbeknownst to them, or it just didn't seem like it'd be fair for the property owner to do that. Instead, go after the individuals who are actually violating, instead of a civil penalty, violating the law as far as minors consuming alcohol.
Okay. It was actually Councilmember Gamp.
Gamp, yeah.
I wasn't going to get into
whatever.
Because Gamp, it's hard to give Husky a credit for anything. That's it.
Thank you.
I would tell the old guys apart.
Okay, so Council, is there a consensus on directing the mayor and staff to bring in underage gatherings regulation, or is there consensus just to let the state law be what the state law is?
State law.
State law. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we won't take any further action on this, and thank you very much, everybody. The next item on our agenda is unfinished business item number 2, AB 16078, discussion downtown decorative lighting. And is this Mr. Feilberg or Mr. Brazel? Okay, Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. The City Council discussed this at the last council meeting and was talking about waiting for community donations to arrive in order to fund the quicker installation of these lights. And it appeared at that time that the council was in favor of having the lights installed sometime in the future. Today is just to consider if the council would like to authorize the use of the contingency fund to purchase the lights now, so when money becomes available or time staff time becomes available, that the lights could be installed immediately as opposed to then waiting for the order and the shipping and that kind of stuff to happen. So that's the question before the council tonight. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I'll move to authorize the purchase of downtown decorative lighting materials in an amount not to exceed $14,000 using monies from the contingency fund.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gamble.
Gamp.
Because you said Gamp, it's on my head now. To authorize purchase of downtown decorative lighting materials in an amount not to exceed $14,000 using funds from the contingency, monies from the contingency fund. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Scarborough.
Brad, how long does it take to get the lights? Two things. We're concerned about the lag time on ordering the lights and getting them, and are we also concerned that they would go up between now and then?
Not so much concerned in the price increase, well, that as always is possible, and it probably takes, you know, between a month and 2 months to get them.
Okay. So we want to be able to hit the road running when we
yes.
get them in. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is under new business item number 1, AB 16079, ordinance number 006, 2016, amending MMC 9.26, fireworks for first reading. Chief Quinzer. Thank you.
On April 5th, the council met and reviewed local and state law regulations regarding fireworks, as well as examples of local jurisdictions who have adopted emergency fireworks provisions for fire danger. Chief Silva and Fire Marshal Fitzgerald presented information on fireworks-related calls in recent years and recommendations of potential amendments following the discussion. On April 5th meeting, council requested an ordinance be brought back amending the time of sales, and the following amendment is proposed to MMC 9.26.020, restriction on time for sale and discharge of fireworks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I'd like to move to accept as first reading ordinance number 006, 2016, amending chapter 9.26 of the Monroe Municipal Code, restricting the time for sale of fireworks, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date. And if I remember correctly, I mean, even the vendors were the one that were actually actually putting in some of the requests to reduce the time frame too. Wasn't that
correct
in one of the letters?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Second.
So I thought captured everything very nicely based off of the conversation we had that day. So,
okay. Great. Thank you. So I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, and I think I heard a second from Councilmember Scarborough. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Kent.
The optional amendment as proposed, do we have more information on that? I mean, when I was reading this, we're empowering the fire marshal to be able to exercise greater authority for violations. Is there any downside to doing this? And if I'm putting you on the spot, I apologize.
It was just we didn't know if that was the right thing to do at this time.
Okay.
For that individual to be in charge and make a decision on the fire regulations, fireworks regulations.
Okay.
As I understand it, there are laws in the event that somebody's not complying with their business license for selling fireworks that they can be cited for?
Yes.
Could you?
I think more of our discussion on reference to fire marshal was on emergency fire restrictions,
right.
Fireworks restrictions.
And this wouldn't do this. This is just for the violation of...
Just for violation of the business practices?
That's my understanding when I was reading it. This looks like a good idea. I didn't know if there was a downside to it, a reason why we wouldn't want to include it in this action.
Yeah, I think the reason that we removed the fire marshal would be, my understanding at least, was it had to do with fireworks restrictions, not the sale of fireworks. In other words, banning fireworks.
Okay. So this action is not going to include this?
That is correct.
It's only for their time frame.
Just for the time frame.
Yeah.
In the
okay.
The council's discussion was very specific to the time.
Right.
There was a request for anything else that would be of interest. But when I was presented with this on Thursday or Wednesday, the issue that I recall was council was very focused on the time of sale for fireworks.
Right.
Of course, we have the comments in the packet, and if council would like, we can certainly bring that back with more information next week. Knowing that council was very focused on the time for the sale of fireworks and that there's a one-year lag time before this goes into effect.
Would this be part of that one-year lag time?
Yes. Yeah. So
then we'll put this off to a... I'd like to see further review of this.
Of the recommendation?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
For what component to actually have the ban, the physical ban, ability to...
This particular... Giving the fire marshal more authority to apply. I'm just curious about any downsides we've got to it. It just seems, rather than having to go up to a state fire marshal... And I believe one of the issues was by the time you got the information back, 4th of July could be over. So it really wasn't timely. That was the issue I was seeing in this. So we might want to consider it later. But for now, I can understand why we wouldn't consider this. That's
okay.
Fine.
All right. Anything further?
No.
All right. Councilmember Hanford, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to make sure that just ask a clarifying question. So All we're doing with this is making sure that we can only send them during those times.
Right.
That's all we're...
Right, that's why I was curious about the amendment that was included. I just wanted more information on more than anything else.
Yeah, but in my mind, we discussed this to have at length. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I don't think there's any more need for discussion, but that's my opinion. Thank you.
Welcome. All right, any further... Okay, so the motion is to move to accept as first reading ordinance number 006-2016, amending Chapter 9.26 of the Monroe Municipal Code, restricting the time for sale of fireworks, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date. There is no further discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. All right, next item on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 16080, ordinance number 007-2016. This is the 2016 building code update for first reading. And Mr. Carnes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilman, ladies.
Yep.
Thank you for having me. I come back to you tonight to talk about the state mandate to adopt the building codes, which is adopted by the WAC 51. We changed the layout a little bit just to make it a little more cohesive, a little easier to read. But the content is basically the same. Marshall Fitzgerald has come tonight if you had any questions of Marshall Fitzgerald. And is there any questions on how we follow
state. Okay, thank you.
No? Well, come on.
Council, do you have any questions?
I think we feel good.
Well, standing for my doors always open.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. No questions, but I'll move to accept as first reading ordinance number 007-2016, amending Chapter 15.04 of the Monroe Municipal Code to adopt local amendments to the State Building Code Title 51, WAC, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Cutaback to accept as first reading ordinance number 007-2016, amending Chapter 1504 of the Monroe Municipal Code to adopt local amendments to the State Building Code Title 51 WAC, providing for severability and establishing an effective date. Any discussion on the motion?
Take it as a sign that there's no questions. That's a good sign.
Okay, thank you.
All the lights just went off.
Just kidding.
Okay. Seeing that there is no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item. This is new business item number 3, AB 16081, taxi cab application. Chief Windsor.
Looks like it's my turn to barrel tonight. We have a MMC that is quite old, but it does require that taxicab license applications come in front of the city council. We had a company, Taxi Cancun, come and present the application to me. We did a background check on the individuals, the owners, and the drivers. We also checked to make sure they had valid insurance that covered Taxi Cancun. They do, and we recommend that you approve this application.
All right. Thank you very much, Chief. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I move to approve application for Taxi Cancun.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to approve the application for Taxi Cancun. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Cutaback.
Is this their only taxi cab?
Yes.
From Monroe. Wow, big time. You said it's an old regulation.
I believe it's an old regulation because I was surprised when I saw it.
And is this a norm? Like, is this something we should look at to change, or this is just what the process is?
This is the first taxi cab application we've had in 18 years, I've been so I don't know if we need to
tweak it.
Change it.
I didn't watch it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion to approve an application for Taxi Cancun? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is final action. This is final action number 1, 16082, approval of amendments to council rules of procedure. And this is Mr. Basil.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We spoke on this the last time during May, and we kind of went over all the housekeeping measures that the committee and staff had worked on over the past couple of months. There's a motion to adopt those updates to the rules of procedure, and then there's also an alternative option to adopt language for abstentions. So we're here to answer questions and some action on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So I was not present during this discussion, but I did go back and listen to the tape and listen to everybody's opinions on this. I really don't see the problem with somebody abstaining from a vote. I don't think it stops the progress of anything. You still have a mayor that can break the tie on any all things except for what?
Ordinance, so motions to contract, ordinances.
Resolutions for payment of money.
Yeah.
Ordinances are the big issue.
Yep. So it's just the ordinances is the concern that you could potentially end in a tie, correct?
Yeah, in which case it fails. Yeah.
So there you go. So you're still getting an action from it. I don't... The amount of time that it would be used, and having found myself in the exact situation where there was no way I was going to vote for something because I'd been against it the whole time, but there was no way I was going to vote for it, and there was no way I was going to vote against it based off of information that I had received, it left me in a very awkward position, and not having the ability to abstain and then not being able to explain that, I just didn't think that was right. And that's the one time in the 5 years I've been up here. but I'd like that as an option. So I'm in favor of everything that's been presented, and option 3 on the voting an item and abstention will not count as a vote in the affirmative or in the negative of the question. And business would still, I don't understand the argument of business not moving forward. It would move forward. And if it's a tie, it would be in the negative. So that's my 2 cents.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. As we were going through the discussion last time, there may be an issue about the 3-minute rule, but I didn't see that as part of the requested action. Is there a reason why it wasn't separated out?
I thought that the group, as a majority, felt that the 3 minutes were going to be fine because they had the ability to extend it at the time of the meeting if you wanted.
Okay, I just didn't want any contention because I'm about to make the motion for A and then work my way through it.
Certainly.
I just wanted to make sure that we did need to pull out the 3-minute rule for a separate vote.
Well, I was the only one who wasn't in favor of 3 minutes.
I know, but your opinion matters.
I'll have to pull it out.
Well, very well, then. I will move to approve amendments to the City Council Rules of Procedure as presented. And I will move to amend City Council Rules of Procedure Section 8.8 to strike any council member present who fails to vote without a valid disqualification shall be declared to have voted in the affirmative on the question, and insert amendment language option number 3. A council member may choose to abstain from voting on an item. An abstention will not count as a vote in the affirmative or the negative on the question and will be noted in the minutes accordingly to allow for abstentions. And move to amend City Council Rules of Procedure 8.9 to strike each member present shall vote on all questions put to the council and insert each member present may vote or abstain on all questions put to the council.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so there is a motion and a second, and I'm supposed to read the entire motion, so bear with me. So there's a motion and a second to approve amendments to the City Council Rules of Procedure as presented, and to amend City Council Rules of Procedure Section 8.8 to strike, quote, any council member present who fails to vote without a valid disqualification shall be declared to have voted in the affirmative on the question, end quote, and insert amendment language option number 3 to allow for abstentions, and And to amend City Council Rules of Procedure, Section 8.9, to strike, quote, "Each member present shall vote on all questions put to the council," end quote, and insert, quote, "Each member present may vote or abstain on all questions put to the city, put to the council," end quote. Okay. Councilmember Scarborough, discussion on the motion. Councilmember Scarborough.
Are there any instances where if enough people abstained, then we could not pass what we were trying to pass? Are there certain kinds of things that take, say three people abstain and there's four, are we assuming it'd be two and two in a tiebreaker, or does there have to be more than four to get where we want to go? I'm just naive on this, so forgive me.
Excellent question, and the answer is that yes, there are certain actions that the council would be voting on in which an affirmative vote of either the majority of the full council in cases of an ordinance are required in order to pass it. Some enactments like an emergency ordinance or similar enactments like that require a supermajority, and in that case an abstention is not going to count as an affirmative vote, and because of that, it could create issues in that context. And again, the mayor cannot break a tie on an ordinance, and that's an important consideration for the council to have as well.
So the emergency ordinance, if we were to put one up, would take a supermajority, which would be five?
Correct.
So if there were three people that abstained, we could not pass it?
As an emergency ordinance, that's correct. And a regular ordinance, a run-of-the-mill ordinance, would require an affirmative vote of the entire council, so four members voting in the affirmative.
So the other three are just not counted in that case?
Three members of the council could either vote no or abstain, and assuming that there was a seven-member council majority or seven members of the council present that evening, the ordinance could still pass under those circumstances.
Okay. Mr. Brazel has, and then you still have the floor. Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor. One example that we looked at that was of some concern would be the ordinance for passing our annual budget that has to be done by a certain timeline or we're out of compliance with state law, and that was of concern to us.
Okay. Councilmember Scarborough, you still have the floor?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Just to address that, I don't, as far as the budget, I don't see that being an issue. So I think if it, when new faces come up here, if that becomes an issue, I think the city can make sure that they know how important it is to pass the budget. A couple things. First, to speak to our senior lady on council.
Well, that must be me.
Yeah, that's you.
Our good lady.
Senior and only. I wanted to know, in all of your years of experience on the council, have you ever run into this issue like Councilman Gamble just mentioned? Where you have felt like you needed to abstain?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Good to know. The next thing I wanted to say was I would recommend, since we're going to this work to change Section 3 with the council seating arrangement, I would recommend that tonight those decisions get made, because we're supposed to do it at the first meeting of every even year. So this is an actual even year. So rather than, if we're going to make these changes, there's no reason for this to sit here for a year and a half and wait. So my proposal is, if we're going to make these changes, let's make the changes tonight and let the decisions be made. Or maybe if everyone needs a week to think about that, put it off a week. But my point is, if we're going to change it, let's take action. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble?
No, I'm fine with the seating arrangement, so we can go to 2018. I'm kidding. I don't care. So, whatever. I mean, as far as that piece is concerned, it doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Thank you. You know, as long as I don't have to have Councilmember Camp's old chair, I'm good with what he said. I'm actually really curious on, you know, kind of what the, how this was brought into discussion, or assuming that there was a good reasoning for it. I mean,
you mean the seating?
The seating arrangement, yeah. I mean, I'm the other stuff we've discussed, and I'm still the same way, but the things that was brought up, I mean, I'm just curious about it.
Well, what do you mean? The way that everybody is right now, or why this came up?
Why the change? I mean, is it broken?
No, no, it's... So
I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, so it came from me. I observed that there are other jurisdictions that I work with and where I, with whom I have worked, where frequently the mayor pro tem will be seated to the right of the mayor. And the reason for that, it just shows a degree of deference to the mayor pro tem as being the appointed leader of the council. It also shows, it also gives the ability just to hand over the gavel in the event that the mayor needs to leave the meeting. The committee didn't feel that was, you know, that was a necessity, and so through the committee meeting there was discussion about this being an alternative here, where just based on seniority that the council members could identify where they wanted to sit. And so, you know, when I had served here on council previously, there was no assigned seating. People just came in and sat where they wanted to sit, and people kind of became accustomed to where they were sitting. So I think that Councilmember Bach, I think, was still sitting in that chair for a couple of years after I'd left council, because that's where he liked to sit. So, you know, it's just a matter of decorum and deference to positions and seniority, and there are some places where it's done by party, but we're all nonpartisan. So, right. Yeah.
Like I said, I was just curious.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Right. I mean, everything else I still feel the same about. So.
Okay. And I wasn't keeping track of the lights. So, Councilmember Cutterback. Okay, Councilmember Camp.
I just wanted to also add what the mayor said. When we were discussing this, since we have a yearly mayor pro tem, that would have meant a seating rearrangement every year, which would have been a little bit more cumbersome than every 2 years after an election, as we have people coming up to the council and leaving. That was one of the points. And also, there was some contention, as you pointed out, regarding seniority a few years ago with some members of the council and where they wanted to sit. It just, I remember when we went to the by position seating arrangement, and it seemed to be useful for identification purposes, but there was some interest in having a seniority-based seating arrangement. So just thought, if we're going to make changes to the significant changes to council procedures, let's get as much as we can done. That was it. Okay. All for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
So I won't be voting for the motion as stated. I would prefer to do option one. And for the reasons that the attorney listed, that the mayor can't break the tie on an ordinance. You need a supermajority for emergencies. And I think that I agree with you, it rarely ever happens, so I don't see it as a problem that we need to, you know, have option three. And then I also think that with this council, I don't, as you were talking about, you don't see a problem with the annual budget. Previous councils, I might have seen an issue with that, and you can't predict the future councils, the political atmosphere. So I think, you know, people elect us to vote, and the abstention will be noted in the minutes, so it'll be clear that there was an abstention. But to keep business moving forward, and for the reasons the mayor can't break a tie on an ordinance, emergency takes supermajority, there could be, depending on the political climate, a time when that doesn't work in the city's favor. So I don't think it's a huge issue now, but it could be in the future, and I don't think it's worthy of a change. As far as the seating, I think it's just easy to be positions. you know, I'm ambivalent about that. So I mean, people want to choose, I'm fine with it. People want to make it simple that it's just in order of 1, 2, 3, 4 makes sense to me. Kind of takes the, you know, seniority and the other things out of it. As far as the minutes, I know that's not, I think there obviously was majority on that or consensus on the 3 to 5. I prefer it stay at 5. I did talk, ask people in the community what they preferred, and the overwhelming response was 5 minutes. And then I thought, well, we could adjust it if needed. If there was a lot of people or less people, we could increase it back to 5. And someone made a good point saying people usually come and they're prepared with the time they have. So to adjust it right before the meeting, they might have prepared a speech. Does that really make sense and help? So, again, I think option one is the way to go in this ordinance versus option 3. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
When we first started talking about this, we talked about option 3, and I thought it wasn't a bad idea. I did talk to people, too, and they many people have said that, you got hired to vote up here, not to sit on your hands and take the 5th. With that thought, I'm going back to my support for option 1 instead of 3. As far as the seating arrangement, there's a third option. You can just sit first come, first serve, and sit where you want and take the empty seat. And then Elizabeth can change all of the nameplates when we get started. But other than that, I don't care where I sit up here. So the seating arrangements have it's 6 of 1, a half a dozen the other than me. If I get Kevin's spot, I'm just going to wear sunglasses. I think those are the two things I wanted to comment on. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Reading over this, my concern about an abstention was that we bring it into the forefront and out of the hallways and other rooms when somebody decides not to vote by leaving the room. And I see with option 1 they would have an abstention would be noted, however, it would be considered affirmative. What I have a problem with on that is if I may not agree, I may not agree with a particular proposal, I may agree with a particular proposal but not agree with the method. An abstention allows me to get that information across. And I can present an abstention, so an argument for an abstention and why it's important at the time or later if there are questions from a citizen. That's why I think option 3 makes it clear. I don't think you're skipping a vote. I don't think you're missing a vote. But I think you're saying a position. You're defining a position well without any possible impact from understanding if you went with option 1 that no matter what I say, it's going to be affirmative. If I just sat here, it would be affirmative. Again, I think having an abstention and having a reason for an abstention brings it more into the forefront and is noted as opposed to skipping, sneaking out on the vote. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I disagree with the premise that by voting an abstention that you're somehow taking the 5th. I could make that argument. Anytime someone makes a vote for or against and they don't explain their vote, that you're sitting and you're not explaining why you're going one way or the other. My opinion, if you abstain because of, you know, I've had one time in the 5 years I've been here where I've ever been in that position where I was like, no, I'm not going to, I can't vote yes because it's not in the best interest of what I felt was the city. And I wasn't going to vote no because of how I felt on the particular issue. I couldn't vote on either side of the ledger. I didn't think it was in the best interest in the city either way. So in that particular instance, I don't want number 1 to count for a 4 or number 2 for count for it against. I'm basically saying this is I'm not voting. I'm abstaining from this. Either option is not in the best interest. One time in 5 years. But, and I get what you're saying, well, it's only happened so many times, but that actually can be used from a political perspective too, to just basically force somebody to go the way that you want something to go. And that's not right. So, that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying, and that's basically why I would have chosen option one, because it gives you that ability to abstain and make your point, but it doesn't gridlock us in some way, who knows how, as we go. When that came up, it was kind of a surprise to me, because I thought you could abstain, and so it was kind of a bit of a shock to learn that, oh, we can't abstain. Having learned that, I confess my ignorance, but having learned that, I'm going to be prepared to vote yes or no in any situation that I come up against. And if I'm not, I don't know. I think that, foreknowledge, forewarned is forearmed, I will be ready to vote either up or down. And almost any, I can't even think of a case that I wouldn't be able to do that. But who knows that things come along that you don't ever think of. But
would you go for a comment on
sure.
that?
Sure.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I do come prepared, or after listening to testimony, I'm ready to go yes or no. That was the first time in 5 years where 15 seconds before the vote, basically, that I thought it was going to go, but the rug completely just went shoop.
Yeah.
Right? And now you have to make a decision right now. And from my perspective, you know what? The wheels are saying not being able to get... I didn't want it to go forward. So quite frankly, I'm fine with it. Not having enough in that particular moment. Because exactly what you said, the preparedness of studying an issue, going through the public testimony, debating amongst the council, all that type of stuff that we did, we all went into that moment, and then it changed within 30 seconds. That moment. That's what happened on that vote. And not having an opportunity to abstain didn't give me, in my opinion, an option to go what I thought was in the best interest of the city. So that's the instance. Otherwise, I'm abstaining and it's going one or against, which I didn't think was in the right for the city, in the best interest of the city. Otherwise, I completely agree with you.
Yeah. And like I was saying, that I think that because of that, option one does give you that ability to abstain, and it being noted in the record.
But it still counts as an affirmative vote. So if it would still count towards the affirmative of something that I didn't believe was in the best interest of the city.
But if you believe that, I think you should vote no.
But then you would be voting no against something that you don't believe is in the best interest of the city. You're missing that, that point.
I mean, either it's in the best interest or it's not. So.
Sometimes it's not that simple, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. Councilmember Davis, you still have the floor?
I'm through.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble?
I'm good.
Okay.
You turned it off before.
We did that at the same time. All right, Councilmember Scarborough.
I forgot to make my comments on the 5 minute thing. I'd like to see us say it 5 minutes too. We're not so big here in Monroe that 5 minutes is going to put us into the wee hours of the morning. It's put us late a few times, but I don't know that it's that big a deal. But I can live with it either way. But I think I'd like to see it stay at 5 minutes. Is there not a thought that when there's a vote, if somebody walks out of the room, we hold the vote until they walk back in?
That's what we're trying to get away from.
The reason for option three was to stop people that feel that they can go to the bathroom or go make a phone call when there's an important vote to be taken and don't have to vote. So is there a thought to remedy that? If there's a vote, we wait for that person to come back into council?
I'm able to recess.
Wouldn't that add to gridlock, which is the whole reason for option one? Wouldn't that add to gridlock? Because if there was a vote and I decided to leave and sort of go out to my car, basically leave for the rest of the evening.
I know.
That's Councilmember Scarborough, you still have the floor.
I'm here learning and I'm listening, so
okay.
I'm open to.
Okay, Councilmember Camp.
I'm just wondering, since there is, rather than have one enormous motion, if we could modify it and go through, because there are parts of the rules of procedure that we want to keep, like the salary changes.
Okay.
Salary commission changes, that kind of thing. So would it make more sense if we took back the motion and did this as three separate votes for rules of procedure for a time?
I think there's a motion on the floor.
I know.
I
made it, so I'm just wondering if I should.
Yeah, no, the motion now belongs to the body.
Okay.
Did I get that right? And so the body would have to vote on this or amend the motion. You can certainly vote on it, and if it fails, redo the motion. You could also go with motion A and then do amendments to that. And so I mean, there's a variety of ways you can do this. But they can't table, they could table until the next meeting, is that correct?
I believe so, under the current rules.
So there's a motion on the floor. How does tabling go? We don't do that frequently. That's for the same meeting, isn't it?
If I still have the floor.
That is correct. If you're looking for, you have a motion on the table, and your options at this point with the motion that's on the table are to take a vote, mm-hmm. to amend the motion that is on the floor or on the table at this moment, or you can request to remove the motion, but the full council would still need to approve that.
Right.
So really it's kind of...
What I was wondering is if we went ahead with the vote, and if necessary, we could have just sectioned out into smaller motions on the next pass for this, because that wouldn't kill this entire issue, would it?
No, I mean, I think if you could say perhaps that you wanted to amend the motion to take the three motions on the floor separately, one at a time, and go forward with motion A, and then go to motion B, and then go to motion C. You've moved all at one time. You've moved A and B and C all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just say that you would need to move to amend the motion to take them separately and have everyone approve that amendment, and then you could move forward with motion A. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. Okay, so we can act on the motion. Council, you can act on the motion as presented. If it fails, somebody then can make a motion for A. Somebody then, with a second, somebody then can amend that to include B with a selection of 1, 2, or 3. And then somebody can go so far as to then move, amend the motion one more time for C.
Yes, or you could take them as three separate votes, not all at one time.
Right.
So you do have a motion on the floor that is considering them all at one time.
I'll call for the vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford, you had your light on. Was that okay? All right. We've had a call for the question. I've already read the motion in. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Show me the nays, please. Okay. Motion passes 4-3 with Councilmembers Cutaback, Davis, and Scarborough voting against the motion. All right. Next item on the agenda.
Cool.
Is Councilmember reports. So we'll go ahead and start off with the committee reports. Finance and Human Resources Committee. Committee Chair Gamble.
Yes. So we did meet tonight, and it was the new item on the agenda, our new business, was just the first kind of stages of looking at, you know, we referred to the committee to start the process in regards to the contract with Republic Services. So they Republic Services actually was in attendance for the meeting. We talked through a myriad of different things, and long and short, basically, what we requested from staff and Republic Services working with staff is to bring to the full council kind of the options that are on the table as we look towards the future. You know, we've talked about before benefits of whether we act as our own utility or as a franchise, and you know what different things we get from that. You know, we talked about contract language associated with you know some of the issues we had in the past, and you know how we're going to care for that going forward. So we talked about all of that, and then we thought in best interest for everybody involved is to come and kind of present what they are offering or you know looking at and what they can offer us even from a services perspective where potentially they would even look at taking our billing over and we'd be able to interact with them via an app, a chat, you know, have calls, you know, a call center we can call into, but then also the option of potentially still having the local payment where people could still pay their bill here, because that was one thing that, remember when we put that survey out, that was the other thing that we asked that staff is going to bring back to us, is that survey that we put out about 2-3 years ago in regards to Republic Services, to refresh our memory in regards to that, because if I recall on that, the number one thing was is that was in there, one of the top ones is they liked being able to come in and pay their bill in person if they wanted to. So looking at a myriad of different types of solutions, there's some potential monetary benefits to the city, some one-time winnings if we are going to go different ways, but I think it would be best to look at that presentation in the aggregate, and that's what they're going to be putting together and bringing to the full council to consume here in the next, was it 2 months? 2 months from now. The good news is, I mean, obviously we have plenty of time on this one, but I do think it is definitely something we should, the services component, we definitely should look into. There's some benefits there if we're really doing our due diligence, there could be some service benefits to the citizens. So more to come on that. Other than that, we canceled our July 5th meeting, so our next meeting will be in the August time frame. Patsy?
September.
That's right. September time frame, because the next two meetings, one's the 5th of July, and the one after that would be the National Night Out. Can't believe it's already that. It's time, pretty close time of the year again. So I believe that is it, unless Councilman Hanford, did I leave anything out?
Oh, I think you did a great job. So the whole thing's coming back to council. I think you said that.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. We'll go down the line now. Councilmember Scarborough.
Well, like everybody, almost everybody else, we had the great dedication, groundbreaking for the memorial at Lake Ty Park. And there was quite a few people there and quite a few council members and other political figures made it, and it was well deserved. So thanks to those who showed up and thanks to those who wanted to show up but couldn't make it. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I was disappointed I had to miss that event. It's been a couple of weeks. Memorial Day, the Legends Baseball Club, a lot of them will travel out and around, and so we were out of town for that weekend, and then right after that, Elizabeth and I flew to the East Coast and had a little vacation out in South Carolina, North Carolina, South Carolina.
Martha's Vineyard?
No, wasn't Martha's Vineyard. Hilton Head, but but very, very nice. But I did, I had to miss some of those events. But the baseball club, the 10U team, we represented, the Sky Valley represented very well over there, took the Monroe on the road, took first place in the 10U, first place in the 11U, and third place in the 9U. And then for this coming week, the parks are going to be infiltrated. Mr. Farrell's not here. The Legends Baseball Club 10, 11, and 13U tournaments are in town this weekend. So hopefully the rain will hold off and the fields will stay in good place. Just even more reason why we need to get those synthetic fields in place so we don't have to worry about that and rescind on the fees and lose out on revenue if we have to cancel games with all of the... There's, you know, over 30, 40 teams coming into town this weekend, so lots of business will be done.
Sounds good.
You're open for a question.
Yeah.
What's a 9U, 11U?
Oh, sorry. That means that you're under 9. League age, okay. 9 and, you know, so 9 and under. Age. It's the age, yeah. 9U, 10U, 11U.
And the girls, they go by the year they were born, so they would call them an 02, an 03, an 04, 05.
Cool. Thank you. Councilor Davis.
I don't often get to attend a lot of the ceremonies and things, so I was very happy that I could make the Veterans Memorial. I would like to publicly thank everybody that was involved in that, from the kids that researched the original monument, to the teachers, to our Parks Department, and everybody involved in the VFW, et cetera, et cetera.
Eagle Scout.
And our Eagle Scout. Like I said the other day there, as a veteran, but also as the son of a veteran, as the husband of a veteran, as a brother to two veterans, and an uncle to a veteran, and a friend to many veterans, anything like this that is in recognition to the service that the men and women have performed is very near and dear to my heart, and I appreciate it very much. So thank you to all those that were involved, and thank you to the city for being a part of this and allowing me to be a part of this. That means a lot to me.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
I can't add anything to what Councilmember Davis said, so other than thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Continuing what Councilmember Scarborough and Davis and Camp said, it was a great ceremony, and again, I just, you know, a lot of this comes from working my day job, but the youth being involved with that and making that connection and the recognition of you know, this memorial to our veterans not being very well visible, and you know, making efforts to collaborate and bring more attention to it and bring it somewhere where it can be recognized, I think was outstanding. You know, kudos to them. So and everyone that they worked with. Earlier in the day, accompanied the mayor Brad and Miss Baker on a couple of the business tours, National Factors and Research International.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure looking at it right there. National Factors was amazing. It was, you know, I think the thing that struck me was, you know, it's a vitamin processing plant that makes a lot of the vitamins that we may purchase in the stores, but just how clean and energy efficient they are, and you know, it's their dedication to the environment, and you know, having such a clean facility and making sure that their surrounding areas are clean and natural was incredible. And you know, another piece that has struck with me is it seems like I think it was Tyson, the gentleman he's the GM, I believe,
mm-hmm.
That was giving us a tour, was very knowledgeable that it was a Canadian company that employed, I thought he said 300 people here locally, or within that plant, but my number could be off, but only one person, and it was him, was relocated from their home base in Vancouver, BC. So every other employee is local within Snohomish County, if not Monroe, which I thought was just awesome. International Research, just amazing company that we have in our own backyard that does so much worldwide. I mean, if you ever get an opportunity to go visit these folks and learn what they do, take advantage of it. If you're like me, you'll never look at another airport the same way. So it was really cool. So I look forward to the next ones come up. So
thank you. Councilmember Kettleback.
I unfortunately missed the ceremony last week, but as a daughter of a veteran, my dad fought in the Korean War, and all my uncles also in different sections of the military. So I appreciate your words. Very well said.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Same thing. Can't really say anymore. Very appreciative of being able to be there. Look forward to the ribbon cutting.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ms. Nelson?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Mr. Osaki?
I accidentally remember if I've mentioned this project before. So much focus on flats, but I just want to let the council know that we received an application, and we're processing an application for a multifamily development, maybe about 112 units, just on Blueberry Lane, just west of Kelsey Street. And it's been in the end for a little while. We've been trying to get the information we needed, but it's getting close to the point where we'll be doing public notice on that. And it's a property out there that's been graded, if you're familiar with that road.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Was there, there's some kind of development that goes along with that, right? To that intersection?
Some kind of development that goes, not sure.
No, that was removed by, there was a condition on the initial rezone that was rescinded by the city council several years ago. Nothing happened on that property.
Anything further? Okay. Mr. Fowler.
Nothing tonight, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Chief Windsor.
Question for Brad.
I have three things. First of all, I and several members of the police department also attended the Veterans Groundbreaking Memorial, and we are very thankful for the veterans in our community and nationwide. Second is we are in the midst of planning for the 4th of July with several other cities, including Everett, Marysville, and the Sheriff's Department. And what we are doing is we're meeting weekly at Snowpack and trying to come up with a coordinated plan and how we're going to address the fireworks situation this year. It seems like all the cities seem to have a real problem. Last year we had a problem. We had three major injury accidents on State Route 2. Same time we had a house on fire. And it really has sapped our resources. Also this year I'm going to put on two extra bodies that evening. They'll be working from 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. in the morning. That will help with the calls for services. And potentially we're going to have an individual at Snowpack that will be filtering the fireworks calls. Of course, Snowpack has a new number now that you can call in 24 hours a day if you have a non-emergency situation. But I assured Snowpack that every Monroe resident that would call in on fireworks would think it's an emergency, so they wouldn't be calling that number. They would continue to call 911. So we will have someone that there, I believe, to monitor the calls that come in to the call taker. The call taker will send it to our person, and they will either clear it or they'll send it on to the dispatcher if there appears to be some type of actual emergency. And lastly, I know you're all waiting for this. The MC Guru here looked up the taxi cab code, which was adopted in 1946, but it was updated in 1989.
That's been a long time.
43 years later.
Thank you, Brad.
Wow. Oh, they went from horse and buggy to automobile, right?
And it took just under 30 years before we had an application.
We won here.
Okay, any questions for Chief Windsor? All right, Councilmember Scarborough?
Brad, is there a projected ribbon-cutting date for Turning Way yet?
The current, last time we did, we dealt with the current speculation on what we did is the 24th of June.
Of June.
Yes. When it leaves Tumwater testing to go to Everett testing, we'll have a better focus on when that division of washed up things will be done with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and to let you know,
We have, because we're getting close to the end of June and July 4th, we are going to have staff and other people that may not be available for a formal ribbon cutting. It may be that we just open up the roadway and then do a thank you in mid-July instead. So that's something that we're working with staff on right now. We've got sort of this rolling, when is it going to open issue going on right now. And if any council members have any concerns about that, let me know. Okay.
Open.
What's that? Just open it.
Just open it, yes. As soon as it can be open.
Yeah, that was our thoughts too.
Yeah.
Okay. Put a stop sign up. Open.
We looked at putting a stop sign up. We were concerned about safety, and it was designed to have a stoplight in place, and because of that, we had to stick with opening it when the stoplight actually goes up. Councilmember Scarborough?
Another question, Brad. On the walkway between the foothills and that light, what's the time frame on it?
In the foothills and the light? You mean the farm?
The farm, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think it's late September to be completed.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Any other questions for staff? All right, City Administrator.
Thank you, Mayor. Just two quick things. Last Friday, the Chief and I attended the Snohomish County Public Safety and Human Services Alliance meeting. The Mayor was there as well, but he was in his county capacity at that point in time. And thank you for being there. It basically was to discuss homelessness in the county and kind of everybody getting together, all arms together, to try and address it. They talked about the heroin epidemic that's in the county, and actually it's further spread than that, but they're kind of tying that to prescription drugs is what's kind of getting people started down that path, and there was concern about that, and there's a direct tie to it. But at any rate, we attended that, and it sounds like they're going to have some more meetings, and I believe today, if I'm not mistaken, they sent out some data. I didn't have a chance to look at it, but I will forward that on tomorrow as soon as I get that email open up so that the council can look at that as well. The other thing that I wanted to make council know, that there's a 522 follow-up meeting next Thursday being held the county, and we did extend a invite to the US2 coalition as well, and that's at 2 o'clock, so I will be attending that, and I haven't asked Director Feilberg yet, but we'll talk to him tomorrow.
And who does the meeting include?
There's Hans Dunshees planning on being there. There's representatives from the county, the county public works director, and the state DOT will be there as well.
Jim, when is that again?
Next Thursday at 2 o'clock at the county building. And if it's of interest to attend, I can certainly get you the information.
That's it. Okay, great. Thank you. As for me, as usual, you've got the summary in Monroe this week. Just a couple of items there. I attended the Puget Sound Regional Council Economic Development District meeting on Wednesday. We were talking about 6 strategy objectives that are in that are being drafted for the economic development strategy for the region. I spoke up about the importance of cities that are outside of the metropolitan area, like Monroe, Stanwood, and Arlington. Talked about the importance of quality of life and housing affordability, and how you have a different quality of life and different housing affordability living out where we do, and that's part of workforce development. For people that might work in the metropolitan area, but also communities like ours also have businesses that support the businesses in the metropolitan area and do indeed sell things outside of the area. Natural Factors and Research International just being 2 that we toured on Thursday. So you can read a little bit more about my comments in there. My sort of the thrust of a couple other comments I had, I wanted to make certain that that we're recognized as being part of the regional economy that if we put forward a comprehensive plan, a transportation plan, or grant applications for things like road projects, that we're not going to be denied because of whatever strategy they're putting together here. So sometimes things at PSRC have a way, even though they are not elected officials, they're a quasi-governmental body, they have a way of affecting our ability to do things like make improvements to 520, you know, get funding to make improvements to 522, and so on and so forth. So I felt that it was important for them to hear something from a city that was not on the I-5 corridor and in the metropolitan area. The Economic Alliance of Snohomish County was the entity that put together the local business tours with Natural Factors and Research International. For those of you that are aware of the Saski Gallery, that's the same place where Research International is. So about a third of the building is dedicated to art, and the other two-thirds related to counterterrorism stuff. So it was pretty neat. And Veterans Memorial groundbreaking, that was a wonderful event, and I appreciate everybody that was able to attend, and everybody's already spoken on that, thank you. Memorial Day, I went ahead and gave the address at Memorial Day, and if you'd like to read the speech, the address that I gave, there's a hyperlink for that there. And I think that's about it. Looking forward to hearing how the 522 meeting goes next week. And I'm going to go ahead and go to the agenda. Oh, Councilmember Rasmussen. Sorry.
It's actually been so long since we've met, or it's felt so long that I forgot to mention, and I'm surprised you didn't, Mr. Mayor. Out the Speedway of Memorial Day weekend. The mayor, in his capacity, me in my capacity of the club, we got to drive in the demolition derby. And I will say that my car was the only one that was undrivable afterwards. The mayor's car had a little bit of scuffage on the front end, but he was still raced off. But it was a blast. And if you were there, it was... hopefully you weren't one of them that was booing us, but it was still a blast. So get out and see it sometime, or let me know. I'll send you the video.
Slow motion demo derby.
They had us in Taurus and Corollas.
Yeah, Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you sign up for that? I read about that. And was like,
yeah, I know.
Take me.
Where was the invitation? I'll drive.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just random phone calls. So, yeah. Okay, Councilmember Brazel. Mr. Brazel.
Draft agenda for June 14, 2016. Under announced presentations, we will be confirming a planning commission potential. Public hearing, we'll be talking about the TIP 2017 through 2022. Consent agenda, under new business or unfinished business, we'll be discussing downtown decorative lighting. Basically, that would be an update on how we're coming with donations. Under new business, we'll be talking about repealing the library board. Be a new item that we haven't yet discussed. Today. House member reports. Any additions or deletions?
And let me just clarify the repealing the library board. We were approached by the library district about repealing that. There are just a couple of cities that still have a library board. We now have the Snow Isle Library District, and when we're asked if we wanted to repeal having a library board, I requested that the library share that with the library board and get what their thoughts were, and I believe it was a unanimous recommendation to no longer continue having a library board. So they do have a board at the district level, and that's how I understand things are administered now. And I think we used to have our own library here, but when the library district came in, things kind of transferred over there to the library district. But there'll be more information about that later. I just, just in case anybody was curious, there was some research in that before we brought that on the agenda.
That's it. Okay. Any additions or deletions on the long-term agenda?
Okay. There being no other business for this evening, Councilmember Gamble?
Move to adjourn.
Second. A motion from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to adjourn. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. Thank you.